Amen. So turn your Bibles this morning to Jeremiah 7. And last week we began to look at the topic of backsliding, and why is it that we struggle to go forward for God? Okay, going forward for God takes great effort. Okay, backsliding takes little or no effort. Okay, you cannot possibly stand still in your Christian life. Okay, you know, you can't advance to a point and say, okay, I've gone far enough. Okay, we're either progressing or backsliding. And of course, you know, the Lord wants us to go on with Him and on for Him. I'm going to use Chris as an example here. I understand that you and Andrew get together periodically for a Bible study. And did you say something like living the Christian life is like pedaling a bike uphill? You know, it's pedaling a bike uphill. If you stop pedaling, what direction are you going to go? Backwards. Okay. And so we don't want to do that. We want to continue on with the Lord. So Jeremiah, probably more than any other book in the Bible, has a lot to say about backsliding. And of course, that's what got Israel and then Judah in trouble. And more so, Jeremiah's message is addressed to Judah and Benjamin. So look with me verses 21 to 24 as kind of a launching point. And this is more today of a word study on backsliding. We're not going to look at one particular passage, but we're going to look at many passages which have the word backsliding in it and see the characteristics around that. So this is like a word study today, okay? So look at chapter 7 of Jeremiah, starting in verse 21. It says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifice and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imaginations of their heart, evil heart, and went backward and not forward." So last week we saw some of the things that lead to backsliding. And we saw the deafness of the backslider. The backslider turns his ear away from God. Okay. Then we saw the device of the backslider, how they didn't walk in or didn't have the manner of life that God wanted to them to have. And then we saw the direction, which they went backward and not forward. So today, as you can see there in the title of your lesson, we're going to look at the problem and the results of backsliding. So what happens when you backslide? You know, and what are things in your life that happen when you backslide? And some definitions first of the word backsliding, backslidings that we find in our Bible. And first off, the English word for backsliding, defined by Webster, means to fall off. It means to apostatize. It means to turn gradually from the faith and practice of Christianity. Okay? So what do we see here? We see a falling away. Strong's, if you have a Strong's concordance and you look up the Hebrew word for backsliding, it means to go back, it means to flinch, it means to apostatize or to turn away. And a little bit deeper definition of the word backsliding from Wilson's Old Testament Hebrew words, it means to go off from, to draw back, one who departs from God in heart. And rebellious is his final definition for it. So we get the idea here just by looking at the word and studying a little bit of the word. It has the idea of departing from God in heart and to be rebellious. So that's what backsliding means. So let's look at the first point. Did I leave blanks for you to fill in? Oh, make your work this morning. The backslider's heart. The backslider's heart. Okay? Open your Bibles to Proverbs 14, verse 14. And we're just going to look at the first part of the verse. And the Bible says this. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Well, first off, we see that the backslider's heart is filled with their own ways. Okay? How should we love the Lord? What is one of the ways the Bible says we should love the Lord? With all our heart. Okay? So our heart should be filled with the Lord's ways, not our own ways. And Proverbs tells us that the backslider's heart is filled with their own ways. And the backslider in heart is not only filled, but satisfied with their own ways. It's a satisfaction that they feel with themselves as they live for the moment and are therefore content. Now, the verb filled there in your Bible, the backslider's heart shall be filled. That word filled usually refers to personal satisfaction. So there's a component of fullness here, but one is satisfied because one is full. Isn't it great after a Thanksgiving meal and you just stuff yourself and you're full and you're very what? Satisfied. Till they bring out the pie. You know, but you're satisfied. And there's so that idea here, that satisfaction, that being filled has the idea of being satisfied, but because your need is supplied. But sadly here, the backslider is satisfied with themselves, not with God. Okay? They may be caught up in the excitement of the moment and having no thought of the future. Okay? And sometimes that's the attractiveness of sin. The satisfaction for the moment. Okay? But there's no thought for the future. Where's this going to lead? Okay? You know, the older I get, and it seems to be happening quicker these days, and, you know, time just goes. I remember my grandfather saying, man, the older you get, the faster time goes. And I was like 18 when he said that, and I said, yeah, okay. And he was right. But, you know, when you're younger, you don't think too often about the future, do you? You know, I didn't. You know, I couldn't wait until, you know, the next thing, whatever it was. No patience, no. You know, but you get a little older. With age should come wisdom. Doesn't always happen. But, you know, you think a little bit more about the future. And sometimes the problem with that, you know, we older folks, we think about things like our retirement when it's too late. You know, oh, yeah, I'm retiring next year. I guess I should save some money. But anyway, you know, but we can't be. And a lot of times we find ourselves, if we have a backsliding heart, we're content with the now and satisfying something now, not thinking about the future. Okay, so the backslider's heart is filled with their own ways. Number two, or letter B, is satisfied with material wealth. Now, we haven't got there yet, but we will be getting there soon on Sunday mornings with the Laodicean church. But look at Revelation 3:17. And this is the self-examination of the church of Laodicea. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Okay? So, the backslider's heart is satisfied with material wealth. Okay? They base their success on what they have. You ever hear the expression, he who dies with the most toys wins? But you know something? He who dies still dies. You're dead. You know, it doesn't matter. Because thou sayest, notice what they say, notice what the Laodicean church said, I am rich, I am increased with goods, I have need of nothing. So success is often judged by material wealth and possessions. And if we see that our, and understand this, God is not against wealth and possessions, but they need to be in their proper place, correct? You know, it's not, we don't preach a health and wealth gospel here. You know, God is not against those things. But when they're in the wrong place, they take our heart away from God, and it causes us to backslide. Okay? So the backslider's heart is filled with their own ways, is satisfied with material wealth, and justifies itself. Go back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 3. In verse 11, the backslider seeks to justify themselves. Jeremiah 3:11, the Bible says, And the Lord said unto me, The backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Okay? Now, Judah did not learn from Israel. Okay, many years before, now again, Jeremiah is writing with Babylon right on the doorstep, literally, and to come and take them away captive. And Judah did not learn from Israel when they were taken away years before in the Assyrian captivity. Okay, they had not learned from their apostasy, from their backsliding, from their turning away. They had not learned. And eventually it happened to them. Okay? And again, when the backslider's heart is filled with their own ways, going up to letter A, it is satisfied with material wealth, letter B, it then begins to justify their own sin. Now, a lot of times when maybe you counsel people or I counsel people and I come in, they come in the office and I share scriptures with them and then they say something like this, yeah, but, or you don't understand my situation. Okay. Maybe I don't. Okay. But I know the Bible does and I know the Lord does. And so they begin to justify themselves and even to the point that sometimes they justify their own sin. Okay? They justify their own sin. This then leads to actions. Okay? And that's the next point, the backslider's action. Okay? But before we move to the backslider's action, any questions on the backslider's heart? Yes, Dan. You know, are they reading the Bible like they did? Are they praying like they did? Are they sharing their faith with other people? Are they coming to church? Are they avoiding Christian people? You know, there's a lot of things, you know, and again, I know you came in a little bit late, but you know, their heart begins to become filled with their own ways. So they're more concerned about themselves than their relationship with the Lord. Okay? You know, so that are some of the signs. So, yeah.
If you suspect or think that maybe your friend or relative is heading down that path, how would you encourage them to stay in the path?
I'm going to hold off that question till next week because that's the topic of next week's message. Okay? So I'm not putting you off, but I am. You know, but till next week. Okay? But that's what next week's, you know, we're talking today about the symptoms, and then Lord willing, next week we'll be able to see how do we get back on the right path. So glad you're thinking that way, but tune in next week. Okay? So the backslider's heart, this then leads to action. Where do things usually start first? Internally, right? And what's inside will then eventually what? Come out. So you will know eventually that someone is thinking wrong because After they think wrong, what comes next? Actions. Okay? So the backslider's heart now leads to the backslider's action. And what happens, Jeremiah 5, when the heart is wrong and the actions start, we see backsliding is increased. Jeremiah 5, the second part of verse 6, the Bible says, because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. Okay? So it's kind of like, it says here, their transgressions are many. One sin leads to another. It's kind of like a snowball heading down the hill, okay? Picking, like we see in the cartoons, right? It starts as a little ball, and then it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the next thing you know, the transgressions are many. You know, liars have to tell more lies to cover up their lies. And then you get caught in your own lies. So backsliding is increased. Once the heart is turned away from God, and we saw last week the ear, you know, all these things that lead to that point. Once that happens, these actions start, then these actions increase. Okay? These actions increase. And the backslidings not only increase, they're many. Jeremiah 14:7 says, O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. Okay? And these backslidings are many. And what does Jeremiah say here? Who have we sinned against? God. So this is an affront against God. When we think that all that God has done for us, we begin to backslide. You know, yes, our backslidings lead, and when we sin, we might sin against someone else, but all sin is against God. Okay? All sin is against God. And these things just begin to increase, and it's that snowball effect. It's that one sin leads to another. And a lot of times, friends, when you talk to people, you counsel with people, and you think, you know, we're talking Christians now, because remember, an unbeliever can't backslide, okay? An unbeliever lives in a life of sin. But a believer can backslide, and it seems that once it starts, it just keeps going, and it gets worse and worse, because they're... heart's not right. And I'm getting a little bit into what we're going to talk about next week. How do you get the heart right again? But again, you and I as believers, we can commit any sin. Just because we're believers doesn't mean we're exempt from sin. Oh, I would never kill somebody. I hope not. But you can. You know, and yes, it's forgiven, and we'll talk about all this. You know, we believe and teach here that if you're truly saved, okay, you can't lose your salvation. Some people might not be saved, okay, but if you're truly saved, you can't lose your salvation, but you can backslide. New Testament calls this the carnal Christian, the Christian that's led by the flesh rather than by the Spirit. Okay, so we see the backslider's action. Backsliding is increased. Backslidings are many. And I mentioned this a little bit in the introduction. Backsliding's easy. Okay, it's easy. It requires little or no effort. What do we mean by that? I've gone as far as I'm going to go. I'm not going to go any farther. Well, that's true. You won't go any farther, but you also won't be able to maintain that ground. You will lose ground because, you know, it's an ever advancing cause. Because what are the three things the Bible says in the New Testament that's our enemy? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Okay? And ground that we have taken already, when we backslide, and we talked about this last week, when we backslide, we have to retake that ground again. Boy, and we're taking that ground again. We're looking, this looks familiar. You know, but we're taking it again. And you know, think about a military campaign. You know, think about, you know, an officer saying, "Take that hill," okay? And you know, and you see the constant back and forth and back and forth and having to take that hill. You know, and we think of the terrible thing that happened in Gettysburg with Pickett's charge, you know, and how he lost, you know, all his men. But you know, we don't want that to be our an illustration of our own spiritual life, okay? You know, you think about it. Backsliding is easy. It requires little or no effort. It's all downhill from here. And then sometimes when you start going downhill, you pick up speed. Okay? You ever begin to run down a hill? And then you begin to run so fast that your legs can't keep up with the momentum. And then you do a tumble salt. It's not too good for an old guy to do, but, you know, for kids, it's kind of fun. But, you know, but that's what happens. And then it's just like a train wreck, you know. And that's sad when these are lives, okay? It's sad when these are Christian lives and this backsliding happens like this, okay? So, number one, the backslider's heart, we saw that. We saw that it's filled with their own ways. It's satisfied with material wealth. It justifies itself. Then the backslider's actions. Backsliding is increased, backslidings are many, and it's easy. Okay, any questions on that thought?
I just have a comment, and once you get away with that sin, you just keep going. Mm-hmm. Years ago, I remember, I mean, I don't think my son was more than 3 or 4 years old, and we went into the school when there was the French couple owned it, and when he jumped out to the car, he had a Tootsie Roll in his hand. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Oh, where did you get that?" He goes, "I took it from the store." Now, I knew he didn't have money,
right,
and I
right.
didn't pay for it, so...
Right. Watch it tomorrow, right. Yeah.
You know, and...
Good.
So, I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
Some people would have said, don't do it again. But
right.
I said,
yeah.
You know, you get away with that, who's going to know when he would take it next time?
Yeah, true. Good point. Good point. Little sins then lead to bigger sins. Okay? Any other questions? Right.
And at what point do you start questioning your own salvation or questioning a fellow Christian's salvation?
That's a real good question. It's more difficult for an outsider looking in. You know what I'm saying? Because I really don't know your heart. But a backslider, you know, somebody who really knows the Lord. Now, my testimony, you know, I came to know the Lord as my Savior as a 13-year-old, but I really didn't surrender my life till I was 30. So for 17 years, here was my spiritual life, you know, taking ground, losing ground. This is what my life was like, you know. And I knew I was saved because there was terrible conviction and whatnot. But eventually, what does the Bible also say about our conscience, if we're not careful? It becomes seared. And what does that mean? Calloused. You can't feel anymore. And a backslider can even get to the point where they get to the point where they don't even feel the guilt anymore. So to answer your question, you know, there are people who profess the Lord who don't know the Lord. Okay? And Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. Okay? So there are people, and Jesus even said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. So there are people who have made professions of faith who aren't saved. But it's equally true there are also Christians who do know the Lord who are backslidden. You know? So it's tough to make that judgment call. I know what you're saying. And a lot of times people in that situation struggle with their own security of their own salvation. That's why they don't have that security, because they're backslidden. So you know, we're going to deal with some of this next week, too. I don't know if I fully answered your question, but, you know, but I think ultimately this is what I go by, what the Lord says. You'll know them by their fruits. OK, was there ever a time of fruit in their life that, I mean, genuine fruit that you could see? Maybe there's no fruit now, but was there a time of fruit? They're backslidden. How are they going to respond to the rebuke, to the, you know, to the encouragement to get on the right path? How are they? That tells a lot about the heart, you know. And if you counsel with people and they continually blow you off, stop casting your pearls before the swine and just, you know, let it play how it's going to play. You know, sounds rough, but, you know, good. All right. Number three, the backslider forsakes the Lord. Jeremiah 2. 2:19. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. Now, it says here in this text that they forsake the Lord. Okay? And forsake means to leave or desert. Okay? Like a soldier is a deserter. Okay? And this is an evil thing, the Bible says. Okay? It's an evil thing. It's a bitter thing. And that word bitter there, it has the idea of grief. And how sad it is to see the grief that comes to the life of a backslider. And the grief that is in their life. There's very little, if any, joy. And there's no fear of the Lord. Of course there's no fear of the Lord. Remember, we go all the way back to the beginning, the heart of the backslider, their life is filled with their own ways. Okay? With their own ways. There's no fear of the Lord. They're not worried about what is the Lord going to think about this? How does the Lord think about this? Okay? So that is the backslider forsakes the Lord. And that's a difficult, you know, that's a tough thing. I mean, look at Peter. You know, Peter denied the Lord, right? You know, he suffered a great lapse in his life. And he forsook the Lord. And when I forget which gospel it is now, but when Peter denied the Lord three times, it says, and the Lord turned and looked at him. And then what did it say he did? He went out and wept bitterly. Now he felt bad, okay? But that's a good sign, right? Because if he wasn't saved, he wouldn't feel bad. Okay? But he felt bad. And of course then, what did the Lord do to him? After he resurrected, he reassured him and he brought him back into the fold. Okay, and now in our disciple hour study, we're studying early in the book of Acts. We're studying the life of Peter, and we're seeing a very different Peter. Okay, all right. Any questions on that one? That was a short one, but they forsake the Lord. Okay, number four. The backslider plays the harlot. Okay, we have no little ears. Well, we have real little ears back there, but she doesn't understand what we're saying. So little they play the harlot. OK, look at Jeremiah 3:6. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah, the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She is gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. OK. Play the harlot means to commit adultery. Okay? And why would God say that of Israel? Why would he say that? Okay. That's the result, but why would he accuse them of playing the harlot? That's what, but because he is what? He's jealous because he's not loved by them. He's married to Israel, okay? So it's a spiritual relationship. Okay, we are the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. Israel was the wife of Jehovah. Okay, so they are committing adultery. Okay, because something else, you know, is in their heart. The high mountain, the mention of the high mountain, this was the place of idol sacrifice. Okay? This is where a lot of times when you see revival comes, when you study the kings, revival comes, it says they remove the high places. Okay? That's where they did their sacrifices. And the mention of green trees, okay? This will smack a little bit to our Irish heritage for any of you who are Irish. But they believed the green tree was the place where the idol deities were thought to live. Okay? And where do the little people live in Ireland? Where do the fairies live? In the trees. You ever see somebody who has a fairy house in their house with a little door on the bottom of a tree? Okay, we might think, oh, that's fun, that's cute. No, that goes back to the Druid days and idol worship. So anyway, I believe I'm going to get a little weird here, but I believe that some of what the Irish people see, now this I'm talking about my relative, some of what the Irish people have seen was not a result of their drinking. I believe it was demonic. Okay, I believe it was demonic. The little people, the leprechauns, the demon. Anyhow, go there. I'll tell you one day about an experience I had when I was in Ireland that was petrifying. So, anyway, tell you that later. I'll leave you hanging on that one. So the backslider plays the harlot. Okay, and think about that. Today, we are the bride of Christ. So when we begin to backslide and our heart is turned away from God, we begin to commit spiritual adultery, okay? Dangerous, okay? Which leads to point number 5. The backslider commits adultery. The backslider commits adultery. Verse 8 of the same chapter says, "And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also." So again, God got to the point, Jehovah got to the point where he divorced Israel. And because they played the harlot. Adultery here means to apostatize spiritually. He put her away. That's an Old Testament terminology for divorce. Gave her a bill of divorcement, the cutting off of the marriage. And they feared not. They did not revere their relationship with God. And this leads. So this is getting worse and worse, right? Because if we're on this path and we don't do anything to correct it, it just keeps going worse and worse and worse. And think about it. You know, you're going to be right back down where you started. And some of us, you know, when the Lord saved us, we were in a pit, you know, and our feet, the Bible says, was in the miry clay. But, you know, he took us out of that and set us upon a rock. And when we backslide, we go right back down into that miry clay and into all that filth of the world. Okay. And it gets worse and worse. Now this is getting worse and worse. Okay. It's getting worse and worse because if this goes unchecked, this is what will happen. Okay, and we'll talk about remedies next week. What am I on? Number 6? Any questions on number 5? Okay, number 6. The backsliding is perpetual. Perpetual. Verse Jeremiah 8:5. "Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast the seat, they refuse to return." What does perpetual mean? I think I have it written there. It means continually. Okay? So it's continually. This has now become their lifestyle. Okay? There's no more back and forth. It's just backsliding. They're just going farther and farther and farther away from God. Okay? They're going downhill and they're picking up speed. Okay, they hold fast to deceit. That means they seem to be bound to this fraud, this unbelief. Okay? It says they refuse to return. Okay? When we are backsliding, I think I mentioned this last week. Are we facing God or are we turned away from God? We're turned away from God. Okay? And we just refuse to turn back. Okay? That will is stubborn, and that the conscience becomes seared. Okay? And we are in a very dangerous place if this is where we are. Okay? Next week we'll talk about a frightening verse in 1 John. You know, if things aren't remedied. Okay? Any questions on number 6? We're moving right along. All right. Number 7. The bending to backsliding. Turn to Hosea. After Daniel is Hosea. It's before Joel. Hosea chapter 11. The first part of verse 7 says, "And my people are bent to backsliding from me." They're bent to backsliding. This means it's habitual. Okay? They're no longer, you know, facing me, and they're no longer on the uphill journey, but they're what? They're bent to backsliding. Okay? So it's habitual now. This is their lifestyle. This is just what they're characterized by. Okay? And I know that a lot of this is Old Testament. Okay? But a lot of these principles apply to the New Testament, which we'll see next week when we talk about the carnal Christian. And you know, the carnal Christian being led by the flesh, not by the Spirit. Okay? And God wants us to be what? Spirit-led. Okay? The past 3 weeks at RU, when Bill was away, I did a short series on Romans 6, 7, and 8. And, you know, we have to understand that, you know, Romans 6, when you study Romans 6, 7, and 8, over and over again, you hear Paul use this phrase that he wants us to know. Know ye not. So there's things in Romans 6, 7, and 8 that we need to know. Okay? Romans 6, we need to know. If we want to have victory over sin, we need to know that we're crucified, dead, and buried with Christ, and risen again. Okay? So the old man is dead. Chapter 7, lots of debate about chapter 7. But chapter 7 talks about trying to live by the law. Or trying to live in the flesh. And you can't live by the law. Paul couldn't keep the law. Okay? And many Christians try to live by the flesh. You can't do that. Chapter 8. And in chapter 8, the Spirit is mentioned 19 times. So the key, where does God want us to live? In chapter 8. And the key to that, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, previous chapter, but after the Spirit, chapter 8, you know, there's no condemnation. How do we do that? By being filled with the Spirit, by being led by the Spirit. Okay? And so that's what we need to do. We need to be surrendered. Okay? Look at Jeremiah 31, the first part of verse 22. Isn't it interesting that most of the topic of backsliding comes from Jeremiah, but Jeremiah 31 and the verse 22, the first part of the verse says, "How long wilt thou go about, O thou backslidden daughter?" God says, "How long?" And is there a way to end this kind of life? Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus said, "Any man that puts his hand to the plow and what? Looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." So we need to, you know, we don't want to be looking back, okay? And there's dangers in looking back. There's a lot of danger in that, okay? So is there an end to this kind of life? Next week, Lord willing, we will see about the solutions and some ways that we can help people who might be backslidden, okay? Or if we ourselves find ourselves in that, okay? Any questions, thoughts, comments, Dave?
Yeah,